We made it. It's a big day, baby. Big enough, I need you. I'm not going to do it on my own. I heard someone say once that for the church, Easter is like the Super Bowl and the Grammys and Iron Chef all rolled up into one big day. It's a big celebration, big day, little bit of pressure.
Because this is not just any old Sunday, is it? Is it? We have been building to this day, it seems, for so long, especially last week when it snowed 6 inches on Palm Sunday. I was ready for Easter. I was. So, and Easter means so many things to so many different people, and we have been building up to it. We were trying to sort out how do we fully express all that is Easter? How do we explain for all of you how amazingly relevant is the resurrection of Jesus the Christ? And how do you properly celebrate this thing?
So I had one big idea that brought me a lot of joy. It's still bringing me joy as I look out and see confetti in some people's hair. Yeah. I still have some too. This was a childhood tradition for me. This is how I was raised. On Easter, instead of going out and hunting plastic eggs filled with candy, we had cascarones. And those, I grew up in South Texas. Those are eggs that are real eggs, not plastic, and they're emptied out. They're still decorated, and they're still hidden in the yard, and you still get to search for them. But unlike the plastic eggs, where the whole goal, right, is to go and find them and stick them in your basket and hoard them all for yourself and get a bunch of candy, with a cascarone, you find it, and you have this little ball of joy and happiness, and you take it, and you run to a friend or a stranger, and you crack it open on their head and say, "Happy Easter," and confetti covers them. That's why we have confetti on our hair. But two problems for the later service. One, I think I inadvertently scared a dear friend of mine when I sent a young child to go crack an egg on her head, and she hadn't been at the early service, and she had no idea what was going on. I'm so sorry. And the second thing is, I know, that happened. The second thing is, I'm all out. They found them all in between services, and I heard somebody suggested that we should just set up confetti cannons in the sanctuary, which I love. Oh, and actually, I do have one left. No, maybe I could demonstrate right now.
You're gonna try that again this service? That's cute, you're cute. No, but you missed out if you didn't see it already. No thanks.
Okay, maybe later.
Any other ideas?
Oh, yes. So then, when he told me I couldn't do that, I thought, well, what if we shaped a whole sermon around pop culture references? I mean, there are so many recent movies and epic TV shows that have good and evil, life and death in them, right? I think I counted 7 different ways that resurrection happens in Game of Thrones.
But then we counted 7 different times we have referenced that show in the past 6 services. So we said, maybe not. You know, you guys get it. We're edgy. Time for another reference. And so what I was thinking about is, you know, how about stories from the news that are influencing our whole planet, even our whole galaxy, right? And you know what I'm talking about. The black hole.
I feel like you sound like the pigeons from Bolt, you know, when they're like, aliens. I'd be like, black holes.
I'm not kidding. Like, there are so many connections, hear me out, between black holes and Easter. For instance, you're going to like this one, the gravity of it all. That did better this service.
I know. I thought the pigeon thing was better.
Groans from the narthex last service. No, so the way that they each in their own way affect everything else around them. It's a beautiful metaphor. The way they bend reality and change entire worlds. How like an empty tomb Black holes are these points of unimaginable darkness. And yet, paradoxically, they also seem to give birth to some of the most luminous points in the night sky. But then, in other ways, black holes and Easter fit together about as well as Einstein's classical theory of relativity and quantum mechanics. Am I right, people?
I still don't know what you're talking about. But what I really loved about the story about getting the first image of a black hole was that it took community. Like, the whole planet really had to work together to get this image. There were 8 observatories, over 60 scientific institutions, across more than 20 countries that all had to work together for us to get the full picture, for us to see this fact about our world that has always been a fact about our world, even though we had never seen it. And this miracle was finally witnessed when people had to come together in community. And you could then tie that into the way the global community has come together in the aftermath of the tragic fires that have happened recently. Notre Dame, the 3 churches in St. Landry's Parish in Louisiana, and the 2 house fires that happened in our own Oak Park community. In each of those cases, we saw examples of life coming up from ashes, of the community coming together to help restore what was lost. And we saw in the case of the St. Landry's Parish fires that those churches were burned to the ground out of bigotry and hate, but we saw that hate does not have the last word.
And we saw that generosity and grace and meaning can be born even from such pain and destruction, which is what I pray and I trust we will see happen in response to these unbelievable acts committed in Sri Lanka. My heart is broken for what those communities are enduring on a day like this, when it should be all about life and love. But all the more, I'm confident that even such violence does not win in the end.
Yeah, and these are just a handful of examples of how we see the resurrection all around us, every day, even just in the headlines. Because the resurrection isn't just a one-time thing that happened 2,000 years ago. It's something that's happening every day in our own lives, because Jesus is alive and is still living in us each and every day.
And so then what we started doing was coming up with this great big catalog of ways that resurrection is happening every single day. Not just one moment in history, but all the time. And our list got really, really long and kind of cumbersome. And so we were wondering, what's a more compact way to express all this? And poetry is what came to mind. And we've already referenced Mary Oliver once, you know, since Christmas. But she has this poem that is, it really resonates with me, the feeling that Easter gives me. And she says, "Have you ever seen anything in your life more wonderful than the way the sun every evening, relaxed and easy, just floats toward the horizon and into the clouds or the hills or the rumpled sea, and it's gone? And then how it slides again out of the blackness every morning on the other side of the world, like a red flower streaming upward on its heavenly oils, say on a morning in early summer at its perfect imperial distance. And have you ever felt for anything such wild love? Do you think there is anywhere in any language a word billowing enough for the pleasure that fills you as the sun reaches out, as it warms you, as you stand there empty-handed? Or have you too turned from this world? Or have you too gone crazy for power, for things? I love that poem.
I think it's perfect for Easter. I really love it too.
Yeah, it's really good. But not even those words, not even Mary Oliver or any other verses, no comparisons, nothing to be drawn from the news, no amount of confetti in your hair, not even a black hole is enough to contain all that is Easter. With everything within the gospel itself, there is nothing else that could ever fully express all that is Easter. There is no amount of feebly attempting to explain the power of this moment. And so what we concluded, what we remembered, is that the most proper way to celebrate Easter is to really just hear the story and let it take root within you. To hear this report of what happened to Jesus of Nazareth, to proclaim that in the end, love will always win. And just as it was first reported to the apostles, well, we thought you should hear it from the lips of a woman. So it is totally fine if you have tuned out everything up to now, but if you hear one thing, hear this. So as Haley tells the children, let's open up our ears to listen, our eyes to see, and our hearts to learn. And I pray, may these ancient, mysterious, and glorious words and the meditations of every heart in this room be pleasing in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen.
And so we'll let the ancient story have the final say. The resurrection of Jesus the Christ, as told by Matthew in chapter 28, verses 1 through 10. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descending from heaven came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothing as white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. He's been raised, as he said. Come and see the place where he lay, and then go and tell his disciples. He has been raised from the dead, and indeed, he is going ahead of you to Galilee. And there you will see him. This is my message for you." So they left the tomb quickly with fear and with great joy, and they ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them, and he said, "Greetings." They came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." Friends, this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Alleluia. Amen.